Welcome. You're behind the scenes with me here on Karen's Couch, and there's a reason for it. See, we're going to take 3 weeks break where we're going to be working behind the scenes, making Karen's Couch bigger and better for you when we come back. So what we decided to do was do a bit of research and find out what your favorite shows are. What have you loved watching? And we've come up with your top three. Now, today's episode is your third most watched show. So sit back and enjoy. We'll see you at the end of the show. Welcome. Welcome to Karen's Couch this week. Now, you know what? I actually have somebody that I have been a huge fan of for many, many years joining me here on the couch. And it's actually a really big surprise because we've moved our studios recently to this extraordinary location that you guys can see behind me. And we are sitting in the middle of a 53-acre oasis of absolute stunning majesty. And it belongs to a very special man. And I actually think you might know him. You may remember him. Cast your memory back. Have you ever read a book called Why Men Want Sex and Women Need Love? Have you ever heard of a fellow who specializes in body language and communication skills? Anybody got any clues? Think of the name Alan Pease and you're going to be right on the money. Thank you for joining me on the couch today. Alan, what a treat to have you with us.
I can't wait to hear what I've got to say after that introduction, Karen. That is the best introduction I have had all week.
Look, and you can pay me for that later. Alan, I really wanted to talk to you today because you're such an icon in the world of relationships and compatibility with your wife, Barbara. And here we are in your amazing property. We're filming in your studio. So who better to have on the couch than you?
Sounds good.
To talk about men and women in relationships and why do men want to have sex all the time and why do women want love? Like, what the hell? What's with that? What do you know about that? Spill the beans. Because you and Barbara have been married for what, 45 years?
24 years we've been married, yeah.
24 years.
Yeah, I've been married 45 years. I like to sort of share it between people, but yeah, 24 years with Barb, and I'm married for another 21 years prior to that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of hands-on, so to speak.
Well, if anybody knows, it should be you.
Yeah, well, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You'd hope so. We're all in trouble if you don't know.
Well, you know, it's the biggest problem that couples have, because when couples meet a new love, in that first 3 to 9 month period, which is dictated by hormones, so her testosterone raises when she's crazy in love with some guy, testosterone in women goes up. And so she's having sex with this guy constantly, and he thinks, this is normal. Hot dog, I've hit the jackpot. But that doesn't happen, right? Now, his oxytocin levels, that is the happy cuddly hormones, go up as well. So he becomes all friendly and calm and relaxed, and this goes on between 3 and 9 months of new love. It's the technical term that's called the bonkerama. So during that time, that's all happening, and they can only see each other through rose-coloured glasses. Now, at the end of 9 to 12 month period, the hormones start to settle back to a normal level, and what blood tests that we reported in this book show that within 24 months of new love starting, all the hormones that have caused her sex drive to go up and his happiness to go up have gone back for 99% of people to their standard level. In other words, he's got 10 to 20 times more testosterone than she has. So she starts to think, this guy's a sex maniac, he won't leave me alone. And he starts thinking, she's fragile, I've married a polar bear. And that's an issue. But now, all couples who are listening to this now know exactly, and you know, exactly what we are talking about here. Now, if you understand what causes it, you know, and you anticipate that's going to happen, then your relationship can be negotiated out.
I think it's almost worth having a tattoo across a person's forehead saying, my testosterone levels have increased. Just so that everybody knows that it's going to peter out. Because it's absolutely true. If I think back to every relationship that I've been in, And, I mean, you know, your phrase bonkerama, let's go with that.
Yeah, well, everybody understands exactly what it means. If you've had a wild love relationship with somebody, and most adults over the age of 30 certainly have.
Yeah.
And for women, on average, it's four times in their lifetime, and for men, it's three times. That is that crazy in love. I cannot get enough of this person. I've got to hear their voice. I've got to see the photograph. I've got to ring them 47 times a day to check. Well, I've got to text them constantly. That's where hormones are dictating it. And if you've been in that relationship, it's like it can never end. But from a biological standpoint, it does, between about 9 and 12 months.
So tell me, and I've been interested in this for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah?
When women love, there's this, and I mean real love, like after a while, not that first bonkerama stage, but like real love when you know the person. When women fall in love, there's this real bond and concern and wanting to have the connection and this desire to know you and almost, you know, be inside of your skin. Do men love?
Well, first of all, the men who are listening to this are confused right now because...
That's all too complicated.
Yeah, the word love, for the average man, we don't know what it means. Now, in ancient Greek, they had 96 meanings for the word love. In current Greek, there's 9 meanings. There's love of your country, there's love of your family, love of your mother and father, love of your children, love of the opposite sex, love of... like, for example... In a relationship, a woman, 9 times out of 10, is normally the first one to say to him, I love you. Now, this can be pretty tricky because and it happens around the 3-month period after the relationship starts. That's the average. She says first.
I love your statistics.
Yeah, well, look, as long as you know the stats, Karen, you can expect it, anticipate. When it happens, you go, yeah, I know where I am, rather than being shocked or surprised. A lot of people say, oh, but it takes a spontaneity. People who are so spontaneous, which is really great, finish up with broken relationship after broken relationship because they get a wrong perspective of what they think is happening. Because Mother Nature is driving us in that first up to 12 months to procreate. Now, human beings, think of this. We produce 1 baby a year on average. Now, any species that does that is in danger of extinction. So to help solve that problem, men have been saddled with 10 to 20 times more testosterone, don't want to keep going at it, than women. Now, luckily, women don't have that much because if women... were going at sex all the time and thinking about sex, they'd be having sex with all sorts of unsuitable men and having babies with guys who are just not going to stick around. So women have just enough testosterone to keep the species firing, but also enough to sit back to make some intelligent judgments about, is this the right guy or is this the wrong guy?
Yeah, right.
And it's only because we have 1 baby a year, you know, like elephants. Again, rabbits have a whole herd of, you know, 5-10 litter in one hit, and they can do it every couple of months.
Yeah.
So there's no need for the parents to bond and stick around. You don't have to have a guy to stick around to look after them because they're self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Now, a chimpanzee who's abandoned in the forest in Africa can survive after 6 weeks of life. For human beings, it's 6 years before we can be self-sufficient. So you've got to have him hanging around providing the basics of food, protection and shelter in evolutionary terms. For that child to be able to be self-sufficient.
So then back to the question then, if that's the case and men do have this drive to procreate and women have the drive to sit back and go, well, are you a match?
It's not our fault. I mean, Darwin made me do it. and this is not
any
excuse for you. I'm not giving
any
you guys
excuse.
The okay. No, I'm not giving the guys the okay to go for it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm explaining why those who are going for it, which is most of us, are doing it. And if we're not doing it, we are mentally saying we're doing it. So any guy says, oh, no, darling, you're the only woman for me ever and ever. That guy is a liar. He's not telling the truth. He's telling you what you want to hear, except for the bonkerama period. During that bonkerama period, you are the one. But that when that wears off, well, mentally, you know, we are polygamous.
I did actually hear that men think about sex every 15 seconds. True or true?
Sorry, I forgot what we were talking about.
You're off on a fantasy.
Well, I reckon. Well, it depends on his age. At age 21, it is about every 10 to 30 seconds at age 20.
Did I get that from you then, when I read your book, probably?
You may have, yes.
Yeah.
The older it gets, the less he thinks about it. So by the time he gets to my age, it's, well, I'm probably an exception. For me, I'm still mentally age 20, but the average guy about my age... they describe me now as a sex object. That's how I'm described.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I bring up sex and they all object. That's what's going on, yeah.
Well, I was going to pay you a compliment then. I was going to say they're only human.
How can they help themselves? That's right.
So what does love mean to men then? Because love means something very different to women.
It does. Well, here's where it's confusing for guys. She says, out of the blue, I love you. You know, the first thing he thinks is, oh, hell, what have I done wrong? What am I going to do now? And many men will panic because he starts thinking, fat stomach, bald head, eternal monogamy, and his whole life becomes intimidated. That's why many women have reported those. They said to the guy, I love you, and they never saw him again. He stopped ringing.
It's true.
Because, he said to the guy, I love you. Yet 10 minutes ago, he said, I love sushi. And yesterday he said to your girlfriend, I love shopping. So he thinks I'm somewhere in between shopping and sushi. I'm not quite sure where I sit. So how do you tell a guy you love him? Well, the way you do it would be say, you say, you know, when I'm with you, I feel great about me. In fact, you bring out the best in me. And I love being with you because I feel I'm a much better person. Now, to a guy, he thinks, wow, you know, she really likes me. But you say, I love you, a lot of guys are gone.
But why?
Well, again, we're thinking eternal monogamy, bald heads and fat stomach and a life of boredom with a pipe and slippers.
And one woman.
And one woman. Yeah, that's tough. It's tough. Because you know, after that bonkerama period dies off where hormones come back, it becomes difficult. And most couples certainly don't understand that. And this is why breakup rates start happening around 18 months. 18 months is a peak point for breakups. Then 3 years, then 5 years. And then 7 years is the next one.
So I have to know more about that. I have to understand that.
Okay.
Because I've been with my partner for nearly 11 years and he tells me I'm the one.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you are the one.
Well, he's only human.
Well, he'd have two or three more if you'd let him, but I'm sure your answer is no. And you've got to also remember that monogamy, 80% of the world's cultures are polygamous. Only 20% are monogamous.
Is that right?
And those 20% represent the big countries, of course. You've got America and the UK and Europe and Australia. But if you look at all societies, such as in African societies, polygamy is a big thing.
Actually, that's true.
And has been that way for, it's had to be that way for a long, long time. In fact, in Muslim cultures, depending on how much they can afford, they can have up to four wives and a couple of girlfriends as well. And the reason for that historically makes sense because men were always going to war and only half of them might come back. So history of human beings has been littered with massive amounts of widows who had no one to care for them. So the purpose of a harem and having multiple women was to be able to keep looking after those women, to be able to feed them. Also, one man, 20 women makes sense from a biological standpoint because one woman and 20 men makes no sense because you can only produce one a year. So it's right back to a species. Look, if you had to breed an animal, for example.
Do you know, I've never thought of it.
I'm bringing it right back to basics here. A lot of women say, the average fantasy for a man is to have two women at once. And that's true. That's at the top of most men's list in the world. And for women, it's the top of their list too, is to have two men at once. But in her fantasy, one's cooking and one's cleaning.
Yeah, true, right? I'm thinking, geez, who can fit two men in a... Oh, no.
You know, the whole secret to making a relationship work with sex is managing the person with the high testosterone, who most of the time, not always, but three times out of five, it's going to be him, because men have more testosterone than women, because testosterone is the chase, throw, hit, kill, success hormone.
Yeah.
And that's also the one that kills men 7 years earlier than women on average as well, with heart attacks and so on.
Right.
So that's why when women hit menopause, where testosterone becomes higher than their female hormones, that they become more susceptible to high blood pressure and to heart attacks because they're becoming more masculine. Plus, they get a little moustache.
Very unpleasant. So
I wasn't saying have a little moustache.
Oh, right. I'm not quite there yet. Not quite there yet. Give me a couple of years. So when it comes to, as you've said, managing the testosterone in the men, mm-hmm. how does a woman actually do that then? I mean, how do we keep our men?
Well, the first is to understand that this is going to happen. Now, I'm talking largely as men having the highest testosterone because with about one in five couples, it is often the reverse, where she's got higher testosterone and he's a quieter guy. We're talking about male brains and female brains, which don't have to be in the same body. I mean, you can be...
True,
Yeah, well, you can be a woman, but think more in male terms. It doesn't mean that you're gay, it just means you think more in male terms.
Yep.
And one in five guys is an XY chromosome in terms of his makeup, but he has the ability to think more in female terms, and he has lower testosterone usually, better talkers, and he's married to or living with the woman who's got the male brain, because male brain's attracted to female brain regardless of the body it's in. That's
So and you do see that even in same-sex marriages or same-sex relationships. You do often see that there is that masculine and feminine balance.
Oh, you definitely do, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, over 90% of all homosexuality is men, not women. For every 10 gay guys, there's only one lesbian on average.
Wow, you know so much about this.
Well, we bred homosexual sheep and rats right back at the start when we wrote the Why Men Don't Listen book. And you can do that with rats. Rats are easy to use because they're... once they're born, their brains keep developing outside the body after birth, so you can change the hormonal structure of the brain and get them to do things. So if you get female rats and you inject them with testosterone, they'll go around humping all the other rats and they'll remain masculinized all their life. They want to hump everything in sight. And if you get male rats and pump them up with female estrogen hormones, progesterone, they'll start building nests and they'll remain that way. And that's why rats are so important. In fact, they used to use lawyers for medical experiments at one stage.
Right.
That's true, yeah. But they stopped because...
this is going to be good. go.
No, finish. Well, okay, there were three reasons why lawyers were preferable. First of all, there's more of them than rats.
Right.
Secondly, with rats, they found that the operators started to get attached to them. And number three, there were some things that rats just wouldn't do.
Yeah, right. Lawyers, on the other hand.
This is a joke for anybody who's a lawyer.
Laugh.
Okay,
everybody
so back to your question. How do you handle the high testosterone person? Let's just assume it's a man, which most are. One is you've got to know that this will happen in a new relationship. You will go through the hormonal stage where your front lobes, your ability to make sense and logic for your own well-being, disappears. And we've all seen this. A person who's crazy about a man or a woman, usually it's a woman, you'll see it.
Yeah.
She's crazy about some guy, but you can see this is just not going to work. You can see it clear, and all your friends can see it.
Yeah.
But you can't tell her. She says you're jealous because we become blinded that we want this guy's DNA because for some reason he's got the DNA that's going to mix with my DNA that will produce a higher quality offspring. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that after 9 to 12 months that will disappear. So anticipating that's going to happen, that's the first thing. That's important.
Right.
That means that you can expect it, you anticipate it, say, here it is.
Yeah.
That he's not really a sex maniac that he appears to be, and she's not frigid, which men call women frigid. You know, want to kill your sex life, that'll do it. So,
how not to get past 18 months?
Well, it's a bit like at the end of that period that, imagine that men's sex drive is like a gas stove. You go, boom, and it lights and it burns like crazy and it goes out just as fast. Where she's like an electric oven. It takes like an hour to warm it up and it takes about an hour or two to cool it down. So that's a mosquito from this rainforest we're sitting in.
Oh, yeah.
So anticipating that these differences are there, you then got to negotiate it out. And this is things that couples never talk about when they first get together because they are so busy going at it that they don't plan what could happen in the long term.
And, Alan, nobody knows.
Well, nobody knows, you're right.
Because we don't get educated, actually. Like, if we go to a serious conversation about it, we don't actually know because it's not part of our education system to say how to be in relationships with each other. And what you're talking about here is not just, what people joke about, where you say, oh, we're going at it like rabbits we've only just met.
Yeah.
People joke about that, but they don't understand the science behind it.
They're biological based on all of that. Because jokes usually are a way of talking about delicate subjects that are true.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be a joke. And that's right. They say we're going at it like rabbits. That's literally true.
Yeah.
But that will die off. Now, for 1 out of 10 people, it doesn't die off. So you get a situation where he or she is the one who's still crazy about having sex with their partner, but the other partner's disappeared often.
Yeah, right.
And that becomes a problem. Now, when you get to that point, some people will go to counselling. Counselling is a good idea if you get trouble after that first year because counsellors understand a lot of these concepts and can give you strategies to get around them.
Mm.
So what you got to do is manage that high testosterone person. So couples never talk about what do I want out of a relationship. If you've got the five key elements that keep people together for the long term, which are different to what you have when you first meet a person. And you want to know some of these elements?
Go for it.
Well, the first one is sex. Couples never discuss what do you want, what are your needs, what are you prepared to do, not do. If things change, how will we manage it? So they don't talk about that because they're going at it like rabbits.
And it's not a problem.
And they both assume wrongly that this will go like this forever, and it won't. It doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And so first is what are you prepared to give, take, what do you need or not need? And knowing that your partner's needs are likely to be very different to yours, that some things that men want, women see those as appalling.
True.
Absolutely appalling.
True.
Look, a friend of mine yesterday, his wife said, we're talking about the same issue, and she says, he wants me to wear all these suspenders and all this frilly stuff. He said, he wants me to dress up like a prostitute.
Oh.
And I said, well, look, a prostitute is a professional sex seller. It's a woman who knows the market and knows what to present that the market will pay for.
So,
she never thought about it like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, that's right. That by dressing her up and all this stuff, she, in fact, becomes another woman.
Mm.
So now he's dealing with his polygamy. Now, any guy...
Yeah, that's...
I've got to say to the women, any guy who says, oh, that's not true, I only love you, when he's being friendly, he loves you, he's being polite, it's not true. We are all going at it mentally, some physically, but if not physically, certainly mentally. Now, so, sex is one. Number two is money. Couples never discuss money. Now, if we have a permanent relationship, what's that? Is your money our money? Is my money our money? Or do we have our own money?
Well, in my home, it's your money is my money and my money is my money.
Well, that's how it ends up for a lot of us. That's right.
Yeah, right, yes.
Yeah, it used to be a ball and chain. That's called a wedding ring. You know, for men. Like, I have no idea. I've got $20 in my pocket right here, Karen. That's all I know. And Barbara manages the rest. So money's a second one. Children's a third one. Couples never discuss the possibility of children. Will we have children? Will we not have children? How many will we have? How will they be raised? How will they be disciplined? Do we smack our children? Do we not do that?
That's a good point, that one.
No one discusses these things.
Yeah.
Number four, social. Now, on the weekends, do we go to your parents' place? Do we go to my parents' place? I mean, who are your friends, my friends? Who will be our friends? We have no friends. We have new friends. No one discusses this. And the last one, spiritual, then what we believe is truth, what's a lie? If you're religious, is your religion compatible with mine? Are your beliefs compatible with mine? I mean, what do we believe happens after we die? Do we go and hold the ground full of worms after 3 days, or do we go off to some other place? And couples who last long term, it's been found, have these are called core values, have similarities in those core values.
Right.
So if you've got similarities there, when testosterone drops off or estrogen increases, the core values are there to start with, then the relationship has a good chance of being negotiated and last long term. But what happens when you first meet? We are motivated by physical appearance. Now, women say, no, it's personality. No, it's not. You see some guy leather pants with the chain, the whole bit coming, you're not saying, oh, I bet he can cook. Right? When
no,
some guys are reading Playboy magazine, he's not thinking, oh, I wonder if she can play the piano. It doesn't happen. We're motivated by physical signs that give cues to whether that person's DNA might be compatible with our own to be able to create a better, stronger species.
Mm.
The bottom line is that we are controlled by biology. And people say, 21st century, that's all. No, it hasn't. We're not supposed to live like this. We're not supposed to dress like this, talk like this. None of this is supposed to happen. Our biology is rooted back a million years or more ago, and that's giving us our basic drives, which confuses a lot of people, especially women. They say, well, I'm successful on my own. I've got a big income. I've got a big home. I've got everything. Why do I still have this urge to want a man? Because your DNA is saying, find a guy who can provide food, protection, shelter, even though she doesn't need it.
Mm.
We know that successful women don't want to marry a loser.
You know, that's actually a question that I was going to ask you before we wrap up the show, is that a lot of women in today's society are very successful. I mean, I look at my mum's generation and her mum's generation, and they're the generation who were at home looking after the kids. But certainly with the younger generation and, you know, my age is, and you know, I'm 44, but for all of us coming through, women tend to be playing a much more significant role from a career perspective and a self-fulfillment perspective that's outside of the home. What sort of dynamic do you think that's created in relationships? Do you think that that's been a good thing, or do you think that that's caused more trouble? Because I had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine the other day, and she said that men and women actually are displaced.
Yes.
And I'm kind of on the fence with that. I don't really know which way to slope. What do you reckon?
Overall, the human history and most societies still have men as the hunter.
Mm.
And some are physically hunting and catching like they did in hunter-gatherer eras. There's at least three major hunter-gatherer societies who live that way, the Botswana Bushmen and the Highlanders in New Guinea and the Titicacas in South America, for example. They live the way we've lived for maybe 30, 40,000 years.
Right.
Men hunt and they come home. Men are men, women are women, and they're all happy with their roles.
Yeah.
The women are happy with producing babies. That's all they do because there's no contraception.
Yeah.
They just produce babies, and men hunt and sit at the end of the day and gaze into the fire and do nothing, which is what men do with remote controls now.
I see that.
Yeah, same thing. So where does it leave most guys? Well, most guys are intimidated. We know in America, for example, women who earn more than their spouse have a 30% higher divorce rate than the reverse.
No way, is that right?
Because for many men, you being more successful than him can be seen directly or indirectly from his perspective on an assault on his masculinity, because historically he's been the one who's provided food, protection, shelter. And we know that women, regardless of how successful they are, the majority of women, and not all, but 95%, they still want a guy who is capable of providing food, protection, and shelter. That is her basic drive, even though she can do it for herself.
Yeah.
So you've got half women today who are working who can provide their own food, protection, and shelter.
Mm.
They don't need a guy to do this. So men feel displaced.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you an example. Barbara and I, for example, we're a good example. We work in business together. She runs our whole business. We run five different businesses worldwide. We're in 160 countries, 55 languages and all that work. So she runs everything. I don't get involved in that. And I only do three things. speaking, media, and writing and research. That's it. I do those three things very well. Outside that, I don't know anything. So we don't have any arguments in business at all.
Right.
But our arrangement is that when we're at home, we play the roles that feel comfortable. Now, even though she doesn't really need me to provide food protection to Shelley, she's got plenty of her own ability to do that.
Yeah.
The difference is at home, she still plays her ancient role. She bats her eyelids at me and plays girly with me and wears short dresses when and does all
she stuff gets that, whatever she wants.
Yeah, the feminists would say, oh, she's letting the team down. But no, she's not. She is playing the game the way it's been played forever. And I love it because, look, when a guy gets home at the end of the day, he doesn't want to go to bed with the managing director.
Yeah, it's a good point that, isn't it? But yeah. It's true. But it is true. I think
when he gets home, she wants him to change a light bulb and put a screw in the wall. That is, in other words, to be the hunter-gatherer. And yeah. I change light bulbs. I put screws in walls.
You fix
and I fix batteries. And I fix air, as I did yesterday. Yeah. I fix air. I'm a Mr. Fix-It. Now, guys are Mr. Fix-It. So she wants me to be a Mr. Fix-It. She won't learn how to fix herself. And I feel really good. So when I fix stuff, she goes, oh, you're so wonderful. And I know that she's playing the role. But I tell you, Karen, I love it.
Well, it's so cute.
It is cute. But when we get back to business, I mean, she can open her own doors.
Oh, right.
Because I don't want anybody to see me open any doors because that takes away from her perceived power when she tries to negotiate.
And her position.
Yeah.
It's interesting, actually, as you're speaking, I'm even thinking about my own relationship with my partner, Matt. You know, I do have a very successful business and I have a very big life in and of my own, and so does he. But I've always said, and it's just bringing this conversation back to the forefront of my mind, talking to you about this. I've always said, I've got to have a man that's big enough and strong enough to fight off the bears if they come to my front door.
That's the bottom line.
And Matt's always got to be there to open my jars, and he's always got to be there to wash the cars and look after me.
And when you walk through an underground car park, you're going to feel safe with him.
Oh, look, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely a truth. And he makes me feel that, and that is necessary in our relationship. But, yeah, it's interesting,
actually.
That's
your basic drive, to find a man who can provide food, protection and shelter and stick around for at least 7 years until your children can swing through the jungle.
No, right.
In simple terms.
I love it. I love your philosophy, and it's so succinct. But also I think if everybody knew... I guess statistically, if everybody knew what was coming in relationships, we wouldn't be so damn surprised when things do change. And I think relationships change decade after decade, don't they? I mean, as we grow, I know I'm very different now than what I was when I was in my 20s and when I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And no doubt as I, you know, continue to get older, things will change as well. So I think...
That's scary for men.
Having those core values, is that what underpins everything?
Well, five core values keep couples together because they have a base core that holds them together. So things can be negotiated. If to the extent they have less core values, then there's nothing they can negotiate. They'll drift off and find another way to go. But the scary thing when couples get together, particularly in the early stages, he thinks, wow, she's fantastic because she's having sex with the guy day and night. He says, she's never going to change. Serious mistake. Every 10 years, because of hormonal changes in the brain, a woman becomes somebody else. So at 20, she's a different person. By 30, and by 40, she's someone else. And at 50, he doesn't know what the hell's going on, and her testosterone's up, and she's making demands on him suddenly, where his testosterone has dipped. Now, man, same mood all month, forever and ever. The guy that you marry at 20 is the same guy you got at 40. He's just balder and fatter with a bit less testosterone. We don't change.
How do men cope with that?
Well, for men in their 40s, it becomes a shock because whereas he might have had the highest testosterone for a long time, and the younger a woman is on average, the lower her testosterone, because being younger, she has more time to look around and decide who she's going to have kids with. She can take her time. So she doesn't need to be clouded by testosterone, which blocks off your front lobes and you can't make intelligent decisions. You know, as they say,
just emotions are high, intelligence is low.
Well, it is. That's right. Yeah, they say most men give their penis a name because they don't want a complete stranger making all their major life decisions.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, right. What a problem when you say that men have enough that they have a brain and a willy, but only enough blood to run one at a time.
Yeah. I actually saw that on a Facebook post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an example of humour reflecting what actually happens. And so as long as you anticipate what is going to happen, that a guy The guy you marry at, say, age 20 will be the same guy at 30, 40, 50, just older and fatter. Men don't change because hormones don't change for men. For women, they're changing dramatically as
all
you get
time.
Older.
Yeah. They're
right from puberty right through to early teens, right through to you in your 20s. Then you hit 40 where estrogen levels, progesterone starts to drop. In the 50 where your testosterone now is going to be greater, so your sex drive is likely to be greater at, say, in your late 40s and 50, about now, matter of fact. Stop looking at me that way. Than it was, say, in the 20s.
Be very afraid.
Don't worry, I'm in my 60s. I'm going by memory, Kevin.
Oh, this is great. This is great. So I guess the main thing, for people that are watching the show is to really be aware that relationships are going to change. And I think for women, I think we've really got to be aware that we are the ones that are changing. As you say, if our partners are 20 or the same at 60, yeah. Then they're the consistent part. And I think it's a case of consistently reevaluating where you both stand in the relationship to make sure that you're continuing to come back to home base. Because things are going to change and women are going to change.
Well, look, the thing that women want out of men, and this is in every culture in the world, we looked at 33 cultures when we wrote these books. One thing that women want that's consistent for men is what we call resources, which boiled into simple terms is his ability that he can demonstrate he can get food, protection and
yep.
shelter.
Yep.
Because women, throughout evolutionary history, women have always been having babies and been unable to go and do that. They needed protection, they needed supply of food and they needed shelter, which men have been able to provide. Now, with the event of the pill in the 1950s, that completely changed the human species. It gave women the rights and to make any decision she wants, to do anything she wants. But as I said earlier, the basic drives, urges and priorities haven't changed. And that's where this big confusion comes. So if you're a woman, make a man feel like he's a hunter.
Right.
Like you get him to change the light bulb, telling me what a great deal that was.
Yeah.
And when I said light bulb, that light bulb just flicked out as I
just
said that.
Just noticed that.
You want to see my next trick? So you've got to make him feel like he's the hunter, that if he does something small, just say, what a great guy. Now, some women are going to be sticking their fingers down their throat going, oh, you've got to be kidding. But it works. It works. Now, if you're a man, one thing that all women want in every culture, she wants him to demonstrate that she is number one above every other person. And that's why if a man is having a bit on the side, if he's having an affair and he gets caught,
yeah.
The woman never says, was the sex better than me? She never says that. You know what she says? Do you love her?
Mm.
And when she says, do you love her, most men are taken back by that question because
that had nothing to do with it.
Love and sex are in different parts of the brain for men. One side here for love, one side here for sex, and they can be dealt with separately. Sex is sex. Love is love. Sometimes they happen together. But for women, love and sex are intertwined in one place and one goes hand in hand with the other.
Yeah.
So one equals the other for women.
Absolutely.
And there's a significant difference. And so a woman said the other day, oh, I'm really upset with my boyfriend. Only a young woman. So why? She said, according to watching pornography, the guy's fired up 10 to 20 times more testosterone than women. That's what he does to get the mental variety. Now, if he's not going to do it there, he might finish up doing it out there, which she doesn't want him to do that. And so if you understand that he's not committing a crime, that he's fulfilling biological urges, this is how I explained it to her. And she's never thought about it like that. Now, what's that? Maybe she kicked him out since, I don't know. But maybe she's changed her perspective because you can't demand that men think like women or that women can think like men. That just doesn't happen. We are different. That's what the attraction is. We're attracted by
opposites
the differences.
Opposites do attract.
But if you don't manage those differences, they're the same things that drive you to the divorce courts.
Yeah. Brilliant. High five, man.
I love it.
Nice.
Oh, I've got estrogen all over me.
Quick, go shower. So hopefully you found this episode as entertaining as I have
I
with
did.
The amazing Alan Pease, who's the author of hundreds and hundreds of books. I mean, you've only got to look up this man, and he's written so much, also with Barbara, on compatibility. And we've actually got some books to give away. You've been extremely generous, so thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So we've got a bunch of books to give away, and we're going to be putting them up on our website so that you guys can get your hands on them. So join us here on Karen's Couch next week for some more entertainment and some more fun, because we're going to be getting Alan back on the show and we're going to be talking a little bit more about getting discovered. So we're going to take a slightly more business angle. So join us here on Karen's Couch. Make sure that you post all of your comments and your questions at allthews.facebook.com/Karen's Couch. And you can also paste your comments right here on our Karen's Couch website, which is allthews.karenscouch.com. So we're going to see you next week right here on Karen's Couch. Make sure that you tune in, download your podcast from iTunes, and thanks for joining us. Bye for now. So welcome, enjoy, sit back and enjoy the, yeah.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yes.
And you voted with your clicks. So here we have today the first of your top three, which is number three.
The third most watched show.
Do
you need me to write a new binder?
No.
Today is the
third most watched show.
That's a wrap.
You even said it how we said it.
Third most watched show.
Okay. Yeah.